This is Radio Health Journal. I'm Reed Pence. This week, a new regulation that could mean that you know what a hospital stay will cost beforehand.
For the first time, we are now able to get prices and know prices from hospitals up front before we get care.
But what will it take to get hospitals to comply when Radio Health Journal returns?
I'm Nancy Benson, host of Radio Health Journal. If you enjoy listening to Radio Health Journal, you'll also like our sister show, Viewpoints, which covers a wide array of topics from education to history to the environment. Here's a preview of what they're covering this week on Viewpoints.
When this began, of course, there were no N95 masks. People also couldn't source elastic, so people were making masks.
How one man's disposable mask can be a historian's treasure. Then,
the people that wear these pieces are key to their iconic status because I guess it's an icon on an icon.
Why do some pieces stay fashionable for generations? I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth this week on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints.
Listen to Viewpoints on your favorite radio station and subscribe and listen to shows anytime on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Starting this year, hospitals are required to post prices that have long been shrouded in mystery for consumers. Advocates say the new regulation is a step in the right direction, creating a system where, finally, patients can shop around before they seek treatment. But can they really? Skeptics point to a relatively low compliance rate from hospitals, even as we're already halfway through the year.
For the first time, we are now able to get prices and know prices from hospitals up front before we get care. Hospitals, as of January 1st of this year, are to post all of their prices, including the discounted cash price, as well as all of the negotiated rates with every payer and every plan in healthcare.
That's Cynthia Fisher, founder and chairman of PatientRightsAdvocate.org. She says, for years, many patients have struggled with a lack of transparency when it comes to how much they're paying for health care. Another part of the problem is the huge variation in that pricing, even within hospitals.
The Wall Street Journal had an article about seeing the prices in the Sutter Health Hospital system in California. And what they found is one woman's C-section was priced at a little over $6,000. And another woman getting the same healthy outcome, no complication C-section, her price was 10 times more at over $60,000. Why would any of us, if we knew before we went, choose or accept paying 10 times more for the same quality of service and the same care, even within the same hospital facility?
The new requirement builds off an older rule which required hospitals only to publish something called charge masters. George Nation is professor of law at Lehigh University and an expert in hospital economics.
This is really a follow-up to an earlier CMS rule that required hospitals to publish their charge masters. And so a charge master is basically a price list. So these lists would include 30 or 40,000 different items, and they're put on there generally arranged by billing code. So unless you are someone who speaks that language, that earlier rule was really sort of a situation where their heart was in the right place, but there was not much practical benefit because it was just so unwieldy to try to use that information.
Nation says the new rule is designed to be more user-friendly. The gross charges, or charge masters, are still on the list, but it will also include the cash price if a patient were not to use insurance. The absolute minimum and maximum prices the hospital charges will also be included, as will the prices hospitals have negotiated with insurers.
The idea is that if I have Aetna insurance, this would give me specific information of how much Aetna has agreed to pay, for example, for a full knee replacement or a hernia repair or whatever, a CT scan or an MRI, whatever procedure I happen to need. So I would be able to say, well, this is how much they've negotiated with Aetna, and that way I would have the specific information that I need as a consumer to figure out what I owe or what I may owe if I decide to get the service there. You see, how good a job has your insurer done? Are you at the high end of the negotiated rates or the low end of the negotiated rates?
Nation says allowing patients to comparison shop is a key component of this rule. Each hospital will have to create a consumer-friendly sheet of costs for 300 common services, such as the cost of having a baby, a hernia repair, or even getting a brain scan. Instead of the patient having to add up each separate cost for the procedure, the cumulative prices are listed as episodes of care, Nation explains.
For example, if I need that hernia repair, I don't know how much suture they're going to use. I don't know how much OR time is involved. This would be the price that would include the whole episode of care. So in the case of the hernia repair, the OR time, the anesthesia, the suture material, everything that they need to get that done.
But you don't have to shop around yourself to benefit. Nation says another positive that might come out of the rule affects the more than 50% of all Americans who get their health care through an employer.
The employers have a big interest, right, in trying to bring down the price of health care for their employees. Their hands have been somewhat tied because in the past they haven't been able to tell how good a job their third-party administrators were doing on their behalf in terms of negotiating with the providers, specifically with the hospitals. This legislation allows Lehigh to go in and say, hey, we have two big healthcare systems here in this area. And they go in and say, well, how much does St. Luke's, what's their lowest negotiated rate for a knee replacement compared to Lehigh Valley Hospital? And so I think that's going to allow employers to now bring more pressure onto their third-party administrators to say, come on, get me a better deal with the hospital, negotiate that price down a little more.
More competition for hospitals, more transparency for consumers, and less legwork for patients. All sounds pretty good in theory, but will the new regulations have their desired impact? Maybe, depending on a few key factors.
It has the potential, not by itself, but I think even on its own, it can have a big impact. But it certainly has the potential to be a game changer. And I'll tell you why. You need a couple of things in order to allow a marketplace to be competitive. And so one of those things that you need is price transparency, and we have been sorely lacking that in healthcare. And so this is a big step, in my opinion, in meaningful price transparency. Now, is that going to translate instantly to more competition and lower prices for healthcare? Probably not.
We want to make sure we have a fair price and ultimately shift the system where hospitals run like any other competitive business in our economy, where they compete and provide fair prices to all consumers.
Advocates hope that technology could help with a transparency piece of the puzzle. All of the prices hospitals publish must be listed in a machine-readable way so they can be easily processed by computers.
Certainly, in this day and age, with the technology we have, you know, we went to Best Buy, and while we're standing there looking at whatever they're selling, we can see what the cost of it is at some competitor on our iPhone, right? So we should be able to do the same thing with healthcare. It should be as easy as going on my iPhone and saying, give me a 20-mile radius, what are all the MRI machines, what's the price for an MRI of my knee with and without contrast, and that list should just pop up. Now, what they're hoping, what CMS is hoping with this disclosure, and they require that these disclosures be in computer-readable form, the reason for that is that third parties can then take this data and make it even more user-friendly for consumers.
Another recent ruling might mean even more good news for patients. This summer, the Biden administration has been working toward finalizing a ban on surprise medical bills, a ban which Congress passed and President Trump signed into law last year. If all goes according to plan, the policy could be a huge win for consumer protection advocates.
Patients are going to be protected. They're not going to have to pay any more out of pocket than they would have had to pay had they been in a provider that was in their network. So I think that's a huge benefit and, frankly, about time and is fair.
Price transparency takes care of surprise billing. Why? It eliminates the price gouging and the overcharging because we know prices up front.
Even though both of these changes are promising on paper, the actual rollout of both has been slow. In July, President Biden instructed the Department of Health and Human Services to enforce the price transparency rules, threatening a $300 per day penalty if hospitals fail to do so. And there's apparently reason for that. A new report by PatientRightsAdvocate.org shows that most hospitals are still not complying with the federal regulations.
Most of the hospitals are not in full compliance yet and have not posted their actual prices online. There has still been a lot of missing fields. There's been not showing the data by plan and payer. And many of them have not even posted any prices online yet. So there has been overall widespread non-compliance by the hospital systems.
The pandemic has meant that 2020 and especially early 2021 are a bit of an outlier in terms of healthcare because of this tremendous impact of the pandemic. And so anecdotal information that I'm getting from the folks that I talk to, it's not even consistent yet in terms of hospitals complying with this disclosure. So there's some work to be done in just getting this information really off the ground and up on the website where patients can find it.
Nation is also quick to point out that even posting prices will not be the silver bullet for all consumers.
Here in the Lehigh Valley, we're lucky we have two big health systems, but many places in this country have only one dominant health care system. You could have all the price transparency in the world, that system's not competing with anyone, so they don't have any pressure to lower the price. We have effectively a monopoly. So one of the other issues we need to address along with this transparency is trying to break up these huge healthcare systems so that we have competitors in the marketplace who can be forced to provide the highest quality at the lowest price in order to attract customers.
Nation says that before any of these changes can really have an effect on consumers, we need to change the way we think about transparency and the healthcare system in general and start having tough conversations.
I think part of what we need to change if we really want to create this competitive, price competitive environment for healthcare is we need to change the sort of culture of accessing healthcare. And what I mean by that is most consumers aren't used to going in and saying, what's this going to cost me? And even if they do, 100% of hospitals are not used to answering that question in a way that's useful. I think we have the best healthcare in the world. We do have access issues, and we also have price issues. Our healthcare is extremely expensive, and I think it's more expensive than it needs to be to have the best healthcare. So that's where I think this transparency with an eye towards increasing competition, I think that's why it's so important.
You can find out more about all of our guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org. I'm Reed Pence.
New studies show for the first time that reducing air pollution may roll back the risk of dementia. Research reported at the Alzheimer's Association International Conference 2021 shows a clear connection between air quality and physical brain changes defining Alzheimer's disease. What's more, reducing fine particulate matter in the air is associated with slower cognitive decline and a 20% reduction in dementia risk. Claire Sexton is Director of Scientific Programs and Outreach at the Alzheimer's Association.
What's exciting is we're now seeing data showing that improving air quality may actually reduce the risk of dementia. Air pollution is bad for our brains and our overall health. This demonstrates the importance of policies and action by both governments and businesses that address air pollution.
Studies were conducted in large populations in the US and France. Sexton says the findings are especially important in urban areas where higher levels of air pollution are common. Find out more at alz.org.
And that's Radio Health Journal for this week. Radio Health Journal is a production of MediaTracks Communications. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to learn more. And check Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify for a library of past programs. Plus, you'll always find previous segments and information about our guests at radiohealthjournal.org. join us again next week for another edition of Radio Health Journal.
Coming up next week on Radio Health Journal.
You're going to see major increases in human suffering, major decreases in human productivity, and major stresses on the electric grid.
Understanding climate change and how it may affect everything.
Then the colorful world of synesthesia.
Synesthetes just have a different texture of reality. People often say, oh my God, don't they get confused seeing all these extra shapes and colors and things moving around? And the answer is no.
All that and more on Radio Health Journal.